Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf and Shabbos is daf Pei Hei. Okay, we spend a day on Kalayim. Masechta Kalayim is a difficult Masechta. We only have the Mishnayos. There's no Bavli written on Masechta Kalayim. So every now and then, occasionally, the Gemara speaks about the topic of Kalayim, and today's that daf. At least within Masechta Shabbos. We're in the ninth parak of Shabbos, and as we've now been seeing now for a number of days, the ninth parak of Shabbos is deviating from the topic of Hilchos Shabbos and moves on to other topics as well. The first topic that we covered in the ninth parak, going back to Daf Pei Beis, was about Tumah Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Metame, and the only question is, to what degree is it Metame? Is it Metame B'Magah? Is it Metame B'Masa? Ostensibly a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. And that was our topic for the first couple of days. We went on to discuss yesterday about a boat is mitahir. It's not mekabel tumah. And why should that be? So that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday we discussed a boat not being mekabel tumah. And now we leave the world of tumah tahara and we enter into the world of kalayim. Torah prohibits kalayim. You're not allowed to mix. Kalayim has a number of applications. It applies to mixing animals, crossing animals. It applies to taking wool and linen and putting together in the same garment. That's called shatnez. And kalayim applies to the land as well, to agriculture. And what you can't do is you can't plant seeds in the same patch together. Two different seeds in the same patch. By doing so, one violates the isser of kalayim. The Ramban, on his Perush on Chumash, says, why does the Torah prohibit kalayim? Well, first of all, why does the Torah prohibit anything? Meaning the Torah prohibits it. Okay, that's good. That ends the discussion real quickly. But the Ramban says that his opinion is that one of the reasons why the Torah prohibits kalayim is because Kadosh Baruch Hu created nature, and Kadosh Baruch Hu created everything in its own unique fashion, and Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted everything to be distinct. And by us coming and manipulating nature and taking an orange and mixing it with another fruit and creating some sort of hybrid, some sort of blend, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want us to do it, didn't want us to really manipulate nature.
It's part of an explanation,
right. Not the full explanation. It gets Tamei HaMitzvos. Okay, and with that stated, and without any further ado, we begin the Mishnah. Now, we're going to start off before we begin the Mishnah. Making some, and I mean this both figuratively and literally, groundbreaking revelation. The revelation is that the issue of kalayim is more an issue of appearance than it is of actual mixing. Meaning you'll see as we go through the Mishnah is more concerned, and certainly Rashi says it straight out. You cannot get around it. But from the Mishnah itself, it seems this way as well. The issue really becomes an issue of appearances. The Mishnah reads on Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Minayin la'aruga shehi shisha al shisha. Tfachim shezorim b'tocha chamisha zeronim. I have a field that is 6x6 tfachim. Okay, it's not a very big field. In fact, it's pretty small. It's called a patch. You know, a patchwork field. I have a picture on the board behind me, and we'll be doing a little bit of drawing today. So it's 6x6 tfachim. So what we can do now is that we can take this field and we can plant five different types of seeds in such a field. Shezor b'tocha chamisha zeronim. Dala dala ruchos. So what we're going to do is that along the perimeter of each one of the fields, north, south, east, and west, we're going to be planting a row of seeds, each one representing a different seed. And one seed we're going to plant smack in the middle. The pasuk does not say seed, the pasuk rather said seeds. And from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, so we now understand that you can plant five different seeds in a field of 6x6. Okay. First of all, the pasuk in Yeshayahu is not talking about the issur of kalayim. The pasuk in Yeshayahu is talking about how we are going to sprout. The Jewish people are going to sprout. Bizman HaMashiach. So obviously the pasuk over here is taken out of context. And this kind of fits in with all the other Mishnahs that we've been doing over the course of the ninth parak, where it's really alluded to in Psukim and Navi. Right? The first Mishnah talked about Tzarem Kamo Davam. That was the pasuk in Yeshayahu as well. And the previous Mishnah, Minayin L'Tzvi Shi Torah, Derech Aniyah, Belev Yam, that's the Pasuk in Mishlei. So again, so we have Pesukim in Navi that kind of speak to or allude to this idea of halachos. Okay, now let's further explain this scenario. Okay, if the field is 6x6, so obviously the distance from here to here is only going to be 3. And the truth of the matter is it's going to be less than 3 because you have to assume that the seed itself is going to represent a certain area, whatever that small area may be. And obviously the distance from here to here is also going to be 3 as well. This is going to be 3, this is going to be 3, and again, we're just a little bit short of 3. Now, what Rashi is basically going to say, we're going to see the Rashi inside, but before we see the Rashi inside, Rashi is essentially going to say, look, whenever you plant the seed, there's a certain assumption that's made that the roots go out 1.5 tefach. 1.5 tefach. So in other words, so when I plant the seed over here, its extension is going to be 1.5 tefach, and the roots are going to extend 1.5 tefach this way. And when I plant the seed over here, its extension of its roots is going to go 1.5 tefach. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to plant it at a distance of 3 tefachim from one another, the center to its perimeters. And by doing so, so now I've created a buffer so that the roots are now no longer intermingled. Good. Obviously, this is a wonderful explanation, separating the center seed from the perimeter seeds, but we have seeds in my picture that I just depicted. I have seeds going around the perimeter. Now, in my picture, I did create a little bit of separation in the corners, but the truth of the matter is that the distance between here and here is not a full 3 tefachim. So Rashi is going to about to explain to us why should that be that I need a full distance of 3 tefachim from the perimeter to the middle, but when it comes to the edges, it doesn't have to be a distance of 3 tefachim. And listen to Rashi. Rashi writes the following. I'm reading the Rashi in the Mishnah. Even though the corners are next to one another, they are close to one another. And there's not a full separation of 3 tefachim. And they obviously now are nourishing one from the other. The roots that are going underneath the ground are touching one another and nourishing from one another. Ein kan beis mechush. Rashi says, no problem, don't worry. Degabe kalayim hekeruhu debi'inan. Delola have irvav. Because kalayim, says Rashi, is an issue of perception. It's all about perception. Daha kalayim kapit kram. The iser in the Torah is kalayim. Meaning, see, it sounds like what Rashi is saying is that when the Torah prohibits kalayim, what the Torah is really prohibiting is not the actual intermingling of one seed and another, but the appearance of intermingling one to the other. Avali yinika lo chayshina, we're not really worried about yinika. Afil beklai karam daraisa. And Rashi says, this is not just because we are discussing seeds that are not grapes or olives or wheat. In other words, we could be talking about a vegetable patch. And it wouldn't make, we're talking about a vegetable patch. You could have made the argument, well, vegetable patches and planting of different vegetable seeds is only an issa de rabbanan, and maybe that's why we're makel. Rashi says, no. Even if we were talking about grapes, it wouldn't be an issue. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that if I have a fence separating my property and my neighbor's property, and I plant right next to, right up against my fence, and he plants right up against his fence, it's okay. The Gemara Baba Basra says it's fine. The Alpha Gavdian Kumitasai. Now, certainly, what's going to happen is that the roots are going to go in the ground, and right subterranean, my roots are going to go into his property, and his roots are going to go into my property, and isn't that an issue of kalayim? And Rashi says no. Not a problem whatsoever. And we're not talking about klai hakerem. We're not talking about the issa d'oraisa. We're talking about vegetables. That's only an issa d'rabbanan. Okay, and we're going to see more of this later on in our daf today. Now, what about... So what about the shuras, the rows that we planted? So if the whole issue is an issue of heker, so if you have two rows that are running perpendicular one another, so in other words, let's take a look at the north row and look down now at the east row. They're running perpendicular one another. There is no appearance that they're being planted together. And again, the fact that there is a the roots underneath, Rashi says that's not a problem whatsoever. It's all about appearances. Rashi says, but what the problem lies is in that center seed, because that center seed is not running in any particular direction. So in other words, it does, from an appearance standpoint, it does not look distinct from neither the north, the south, the east, or nor the west. So therefore, Rashi goes on to explain, so now you got to have distance between the perimeter and the center. What's the distance going to be? I'm sorry. And then Rashi goes over another pshat that he's not too particularly excited about. But anyway, so this is where we stand right now. So in other words, what we introduce ourselves to is the idea of Kalayim, but Rashi tells us right from the get-go that the real issue of Kalayim is not the actual Yanika, but it's the appearances. It's the fact that the Torah does not want us to look like we're planting one plant next to another plant. So if there's anything that we could do that would alter appearance, it would be fine. So Rashi goes on to say that over here, what do we have? We have over here if parallel rows running one next to another, that's going to be an issue. That'll be a problem. But if they are not parallel rows, if they're perpendicular, if they're running at a 90-degree angle, so then it would be fine. Now, Rashi doesn't really explain to us how much distance I need from here to here, meaning I can't go all the way to the edge, because then if I go all the way to the edge, obviously these two seeds over here are going to be even an appearance problem. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop somewhere near the edge. Rashi doesn't say where that near is, but whatever the case is. But the problem is the one in the middle, where it seems it does not have a line. It's not running in any direction. So I need now a full three tefachim separating here to here, and here to here, etc., etc. So says Rashi. Okay? Now, again, let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, so this is going to be the configuration. In order to plant five different vegetables in one garden. And it's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. So the Gemara says, how did that pasuk work exactly? So my mashma, that's the Gemara's first question on this discussion on Rav Yehuda, ki ka'aretz totzi tzimcha. So like the land, you will sprout. Totzi is chad. Tzimcha, chad. So that now gets us to two. Harei trei. Zeru eha. Now, Zeru'eha is in the plural, that's seeds. And we always assume whenever there's a plural that it's not more than two, right? Tafasta meruba, lo tafasta. So hare arba, so that now brings us to four. And tatzmiach, chad. And tatzmiach is one more, so that's five. Hare ha-chamisha, so making a total of five. Right, it's fair to say that this is, again, we're darshaning a pasuk in Yeshayahu, so it's a smachta, meaning it seems to be that this is a Not a bona fide drasha, but it's just simply an allusion in the pasuk that gets us to five. V'kimlu l'rabbanan. Now we're on the top of Pehei Amud Aleph. V'kimlu l'rabbanan dechamisha b'shisa lo yanke mehadadei. So, and the Chachamim have established that once I plant it in an area of a patch of six tefachim in the configuration that I have on the board behind me, so then there will be no yinika from one to another. U'minalan da'kimlu l'rabbanan. Now, how do they know that? I know it doesn't sound like a fair question.
It sounds like a contradiction. Like that one seems to be it's a problem, unique and not appearance. And
no, it's not a contradiction. Meaning, what Rashi will tell you is that
so he's talking about unique. So
I understand.
Very unique. They're close by. If you need three for him, they're not three for him. Look at the side. So
right.
Not appearance.
Right. But the appearance, in other words, because we know. Let's try it this way. Because we know that Yanika is 1.5 tefachim,
right.
And because the seed over here is standalone in the middle, so therefore, from an appearance standpoint, it has to be 3 tefachim from the edge.
I understand that.
Right.
But
Rabbanan
is talking about Yanika, they're not talking about appearance.
Yeah, but what creates the appearance is the Yanika. Okay.
Now, so even though it will be Yanika from the corners,
yeah, the corners will be a Yanika.
Because appearance is.
But, right.
So how do you know it's 1.5 from Yanika?
How do we know?
Okay,
that's Gemara's next question. So minalan da kimul the rabbanan, and the Gemara now wants to know, and how do the Chachamim know that? Meaning Chachamim are really in touch with what's going on in the planting world, and the Gemara says yes, milsehi, absolutely. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsiv lo sasig vol reecha, asher gavlu rishonim. Pasuk in Shoftim. Now the simple pshat in the pasuk is don't encroach. You have property lines, they were surveyed, don't encroach on your neighbor's property. But however, the Gemara darshan's over here, lo sasik vol re'echa, don't encroach on the property, asher gavlu rishonim, that the earlier generations established, gvul shegavlu rishonim, lo sasig. Anything that was determined, any borders that were determined by the earlier generations were not allowed to encroach upon. My gavlu rishonim, so who are these earlier generations? I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonah san dichsev, elu b'nei seir hachori, yoshvei haaretz. One of the descendants of Esav is the Chori, who are yoshvei haaretz. You know where they live? They live on the land. Oh, they live on the land. Okay. And the Gemara asks very sharply, Atu kule alma yoshvei rekiyaninu? And where is everyone else living? Yeah, they have some sort of a penthouse apartment in the sky? Meaning, okay, good. The Chori live on the land. So do everyone else. What they mean is that they don't live on the land, they know the land. They understand the land. These Chori, right, the original dwellers, the original settlers of Eretz Yisrael, so they knew how much land you need to plant olives, how much land you need to plant grapes, how much land you need to plant figs. They were experts and masters of horticulture. The Chori, and why are they referred to as Chori Shemarich and Asaretz? Because what they do is they pick up the dirt, they smell the dirt. Okay, dirt's ready. We can plant over here. That's real expertise. The Chivi, and they're also referred to as Chivi. Amar Papa, shall you tell him Asaretz Kechivya? Like a snake eats the ground. Right? One of the claws of the snake is that you are no longer going to be walking on your feet. Your feet are going to be removed and you'll be on the ground and you'll be eating the dirt. The chivi, using a similar word to describe them, the chivi is a word, an Aramaic word for snake, they're going to be eating the dirt, meaning that by tasting the dirt, they're going to know dirt's ready, dirt's good, plant over here. Good. So in other words, through the sense of smell and through the sense of taste, they were experts on the land. And apparently what the Gemara now is basically saying is that that misar that they had, they transmitted over to the Chachamim, and now the Chachamim that were invested with this knowledge of how plants work, how Yanika works, so now they're determining for us that a Yanika is a tefach and a half, and now if I want to plant two adjacent rows of seeds, they have to be separated by a distance of three tefachim, unless, let's now go back to our board, unless it looks apparent that they are not getting a unika from one another. I don't know how to say this. Meaning, they are getting a unika from one another, but it just from an appearance standpoint, they're different. Like being planted in a perpendicular. Just one more drasha over here on the B'nei Chori. So previously we darshaned that they were B'nei Chori, they smell the land. Over here, B'nei Chori from the word Chorin, Chorin Menechseyan, they were driven out of the land. They were freed from the land. Not in the positive sense, in the negative sense, meaning, okay, you no longer own this land. Amar Avasi. Okay, and for the remainder of today, we're going to do a little bit more of Halachos of Kalayim. So again, now what we've established over the course of this morning is that if I plant a patch of 6x6 tefachim, so I can plant five different seeds on this patch, as outlined on the board. Four across the perimeter, with exclusion to the corners, one in the center, and our Mishnah says, the Chachamim knew, that in such a format, in such a formula, one can plant five different seeds in the patch. Let's think it through. What did they plant? It's a fair question. I'm just not the right person to ask. I don't know. Amar Ravasi Aruga Tocha Vav Chutz Migvuleha. Now Ravasi says, as far as this configuration is concerned, not including the border. Around every field goes a border, a gvul. And the purpose of the border is basically so that the farmer could walk around the patch of land. So in other words, in the construction and configuration of any given field, So you have a gvul. And even though over here you could have understood our Mishnah to mean that the 6x6 is including the walkway for the farmer, so Rav Asi says that's not correct. That's incorrect. But rather the 6 is, we need the full 6 tvachim. And the reason why, you look up at the board once again, and you know why. Because I need the distance between that center seed and the perimeter seeds, I need it to be a full 3 tvachim. So in other words, when we say a patch of 6 tvachim, it is not including that walkway around. So if you want to make a walkway around, it's going to have to be in addition to the 6x6. Tanya Nami Acha, the Gemara says, the Brisa supports this as well. Aruga tochashisha gvula, I'm sorry, tochashisha, that's it, that's the end of the Brisa, three-word Brisa. Meaning that in its entire interior of the field is going to be 6 tfachim, 6x6 tfachim, and the border is in addition to that. Gvula habakama. Now typically, how much is a border? Kididna, so the Gemara says, good, we'll learn a mission and climb together. Of course. Kedinan Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rochav Kemalai Rochav Parsa. The width of a foot. This is interesting. This is not a usual way to describe a linear measurement in halacha. We talk in terms of a tefach, we talk in terms of an amma. We don't normally talk in terms of the width of a foot. Which, by the way, how much is the width of a foot? A tefach. So, yeah, I was going to say, it is a little bit strange that we're describing linear measurement in such a fashion, but the Gemara, you'll see why in just a moment, we're describing a tefach in this manner. I'm Rabbi Zer V'item Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, my time, and Rabbi Yehuda Dechsiv, Ishkisa Bereglecha, Kigana Yerek. You're going to irrigate the field, you're going to irrigate with your feet, right? Get it, the word Reglecha. Kigan hayerek, like the garden field. Ma regel tefach av gvul nami tefach. And essentially what's happening is that I'm creating a walkway around the field. So I know it's a little bit narrow that the walkway is only a tefach, so that means that basically it's like walking on a balancing beam.
Right. So
you really don't have a lot of luxury of, you have to have good balance to limit yourself to such a narrow walkway and to keep on the path, but the Gemara is talking now about minimum shear, and this is the minimum shear. Now, what's the significance of having a gvul of a tefach? So stay tuned, as the Gemara later on will discuss this very question. Amar Rav Aruga Bechorav Hashaninu. Okay, and now, our Mishnah says that if you want to plant 5 different seeds in a patch, so you're going to configure it like we've been discussing. Rav says, yes, but this will only work if there is nothing surrounding this patch. Meaning, like I have on the board over there, it's planted in a churva. It's desolate. There's nothing else around. Then and only then do you have this legitimacy, this heter, of planting 5 different seeds in this field of 6x6. But essentially what Rav is going to tell us is that if I have this patch, and adjacent to it I have another patch, and adjacent to it I have another patch, and we can just keep doing this. So then Rav tells us that I'm not going to have that legitimacy of planting 5 different seeds. And why not? Answer is pretty obvious. Because over here now, I have an adjacent patch, and I'm going to be planting seeds over here. And if these 2 seeds are not the same, so then I'm violating the Isur of Kalayim. And the same thing would be true if I planted seeds over here. If these 2 are different seeds, so I'd be violating the Isur of Kalayim. So essentially what Rav is telling us is that this Heter of the Mishnah is if this is only a standalone patch of land.
Unless it's separated by the reed.
Oh, if the correct separation of the land feels correct, if the separation between this patch and this patch are 3 tfachim, then it would be fine. Then it would be fine. But in other words, if they are contiguous to one another, or not contiguous, but even if there's a small gap between them, so Rav says it's not going to work. Now the Gemara says, well, you know, we could make it work. Now, Amar Rav Aruga Bechor Vashanin of Aika Makom Kranos. Now, you could make it work. Now, those of you who are listening at home, you're really not going to get this.
You can make it.
Yeah. But basically, what the Gemara now is proposing is the following. I'll plant on this line over here. I'll plant on this line over here, and I'll stop. And over here, we'll basically configure the same format. I'll plant over here, I'll plant over here, and we'll stop. And I'll stop so that the distance between the edge of this row and the edge of this row is 3 tfachim. So we could have adjacent fields, and I basically can create this puzzle, so to say, for the remainder of the field, So we could create a scenario where I have adjacent fields one next to another, and I could be planting them next to, and the fields could be next to one another, and by creating this type of scenario, we could have fields contiguous one to another. Now Rashi does point out, I'll tell you somewhat of a difficulty with Rashi. Rashi does point out that what kind of distance do I need between here and here? Well, remember that the gvul that's planted is going to be one tefach.
Right.
And Rashi then says that I'm going to have two tefachim over here, one tefach over here. And then mathematically, that does create a little bit of an issue because if I have 1/2, so then its hypotenuse is going to be, right, huh?
2.
Okay, A squared, B squared, C squared. Okay, Pythagorean. Okay. Okay, so and what you could say in defense of Rashi, I was thinking the same thing myself.
It looked like the
right. What you could say in defense of Rashi is that's enough because look, it's an issue of appearances,
right.
And as long as now they are at a distance of this diagonal, so then maybe from an appearance standpoint, it's far enough. Okay, now I would also say the same thing to defend Rashi.
Any once you go down to this checkerboard sort of thing here, now the corners can be planted.
And now, right? If correct. If it, agreed. You can go all the way to the edge. Okay. So the Ha'ika Kronos, so the Gemara says, Makam Kronos, Amar Bei Rav, Mishmei De Rav, Mamale Es Kronos. So the Gemara's answer is, well, we are, in other words, when Rav understands our Mishnah, Rav says no, meaning that's not what our Mishnah's talking about. Our Mishnah's not talking about where I just went and went and just did the edge of the field over here. Our Mishnah's speaking about where I'm planting all the way across. And since I'm planting all the way across, so therefore it's simply impossible for me to plant an adjacent field. Okay.
That's what Rav says. That's what our mission is doing over there. So, b'memale es akronos. V'lizre me abrai, v'lo limlo me gavai. So, So the Gemara now wants to know, so why don't we just do what I suggested? Meaning, if I want adjacent patchworks one next to another, so why not just simply do what we suggested a moment ago? And the Gemara says, we're on the top of Peham and Beis, Gzereshami Amale Sakranos. Yeah, because I'll tell you why. Because to the farmer, he's going to say to himself, look, I'm going to plant a little bit over here and a little bit over here. Look at all that wasted room that I had over here. Well, look at all that wasted room I have over here.
Right.
And the farmer's going to think to himself, this isn't going to work out, this isn't good. And he'll just continue planting here, and he'll continue planting here. And then you'll be in violation of the Isser of Kalai. Okay. Gzera Shem Yamale Sakranas. Velo Yehei Ela Rosh Tor Yerek. The Gemara now wants to know, well, I really not following. Meaning, remember, we start off with a starting point of the whole morning, which is, climb is really an issue of appearances. It is not the fact that there's actual Yenika taking place subterranean. That doesn't really bother us. It's the appearance that we are planting one contiguous and next to the other. The Gemara wonders, why should it be a problem to have this type of configuration? Where I'm having basically a patchwork over here, a patchwork over here. What's really the issue? Meaning, look, when all said and done, this is its own patch. This is its own patch. This is its own patch. And it's clear based on the way I configured it. And essentially what the Gemara now wants to know is, I think it should be okay, meaning it to have different seeds planted on these two fields, even though the distance between them is less than 3 tefachim, but isn't it clear from just simply the configuration that this is its own separate patch and this is its own separate patch? In fact, the Mishnah teaches us, Tanan, we learned Milo Tanan, didn't we learn the Mishnah? Haya Rosh Tor, Yerek, Nichnas, the Toch Sade Acher, Mutter. If I have a row of vegetable that is emanating from one field and encroaching upon another field, and even though it is not 3 tefachim separating this one row with the other field, it's mutter, it's fine. Mipnei shenira sof sadeh. Because once this patch is clearly part of one field, and even though it is close in proximity to another field, even within 3 tefachim, it's fine. Because again, the Isser of Klaim is only an issue of appearances. So over here, can't we? Isn't it clear that and that are two separate fields?
Also, since you have a walkway on each side, so right. We can tell it's a different
field. Right. Gemara gives an interesting answer, one that I don't fully understand. Ein Rosh Tor Be'aruga. The Gemara says, yes, agreed. That Mishnah and Klaim is correct, but we're talking about a small patch of land. Ein Rosh Tor Be'aruga. When you're talking about a small patch of land, you're not afforded this heter of Rosh Tor. Literally, it translates as the head of an ox. But in other words, when fields are clearly delineated one from another, so then yes, I can have one field next to another field. And even if one of the rows goes a little bit closer to the next field, that's fine also. Because it's clear that this row belongs to this field and not to the field next to it. But that's only if we're dealing with big fields. We're not dealing with big fields over here. We are dealing with little 6x6 tefachim fields. And so therefore the heter of Rosh Tor doesn't apply to the field. So the only way that would allow me to plant these fields contiguous one next to another is either A, they're separated by 3 tefachim, or B, what the Gemara proposed earlier, in that the seeds stop over here, the seeds stop over here, so that the distance between the two would be 3 tefachim, or according to Rashi, a little bit less than that, but whatever the case is.
This is like a preserved Rabbana.
Yeah.
Because the whole concept of Klaim doesn't apply
unless it's a vineyard, it's only the Rabbanan.
So did they
yeah, I was the top of the Amud, I was bothered by the same issue. When the Gemara says, well, we're worried we might fill in the Kronos, and the Gemara used the word Gezerah, it did bother me also that we're only talking about vegetable seeds, and so therefore we're making a Gezerah on vegetable seeds. But maybe you could say Kulachat Gzera, that's all one large Gzera, which encompasses not just the vegetable seeds, but the grapes as well. Maybe that's what the Gemara means. Yeah, I was bothered. Ushmul Amar, Aruga Ben Aruga Shanino. Okay. Now, Shmuel disagrees with Rav. So once again, let's go back. Our Mishnah says that if you want to plant 5 different seeds in one patch, it's very simple. Create the box, 6x6 Tvachim, plant each seed along the perimeter, keep a gap space at the corners, and so they don't appear like they're being planted together, and one seed in the middle, and that one seed in the middle is fine because it's 3 tefachim away from all the perimeter. Good. Rav said that our Mishnah is talking about where this field is a standalone field. Shmuel says, no, I disagree. I disagree with Rav. I think the field in question, we could be talking about our scenario right over here, where it's not a standalone field, but it's a field planted amongst other fields. So the Gemara asked the obvious question according to Shmuel. Shmuel, if you're right, so Ushmuel Amaruga ben Aruga Shanina. Vahakam mit arve bahadade. So the Gemara says, okay, but is there not Eruv? And shouldn't it be Aser? So the Gemara's answer is, but no, to Shur Lakan, Vashur Lakan. So the Gemara says, no. Basically, we'll do what we suggested earlier. Meaning, I'll plant and I'll stop, like we described earlier. I'll plant and I'll stop over here. I'll plant and I'll stop over here, and I'll create a separation of seeds, the seeds between one and the other. So, in other words, and apparently Shmuel doesn't hold to that gzera that Rav described a little bit earlier, right? Then that's what Rashi says. Lo gazer Shmuel shem yimsa sakranos. Okay, fine. Okay, Amar Ula. Okay, a little bit more to finish up today's daf. They asked the following question in Eretz Yisrael. Hifkia telam echad al pnei kula mahu. What if we dug a furrow through this field and we planted in the furrow? Now, it's not totally clear what the Gemara is asking. Right, take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi says, I planted a furrow, right? Hifkia telem. Rashi says the hifkia lashon kriya shekorea hakarka, kamo mavliya machnisa akornim hayu mafkiin. So the word hifkia means that they actually dug a furrow in the ground. And Rashi goes on to explain al pnei kula. Next couple Rashi's down. Sheavir mizera shebetzafan lazera shebedarun derech emsay vizaru meechan aminim o mimin shishi. And what we did in this furrow that went right through this field is I planted a 6th type of seed. Mahush mimevatel tarashura halachas aruga b'shul telam achad olam.
Now, is this furrow that I dug right into this patch, is it going to upset the five-seat configuration that we're allowed to create?
That's how deep it is.
So the Gemara, yeah, it's so interesting. The Gemara doesn't discuss depth, and the Gemara doesn't really give us any more information other than just simply you dug a furrow. So it's really, from the Gemara itself, which just based on the scarce amount of information that's given, it's not particularly clear what the real issue is over here.
The furrow goes straight down?
But the way Rashi's describing it...
Straight across.
Rashi's describing it, that it's going...
straight.
Keep this clean. Rashi says that you just dug it right through, uh-huh. Right through the center. That's the way Rashi seems to be describing it. And so the Gemara's response is machlokus. So sheshes beinu. I'm sorry. Apnei kula mala. I'm Rav sheshes ba'ir uvitel sashura. Gemara says no. It's according to Rav sheshes, it's no good. Rav Asi amar eini ruvo mevatel sashura, and Rav Asi says that the eruv is not mevatel sashura. It doesn't upset the configuration. Eisvei ravina Rav Ashi. The Gemara challenges Rav Ashi. Now it's a little bit difficult because our Gemara says it's not Rav Ashi, it's Rav Asi. Okay, so...
Excuse me, I don't understand. You put a furrow like this and you plant the whole furrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you still can plant on the side.
Still keep the configuration.
Yet when you had the one seed in the middle...
Right. Apparently a furrow...
You needed three, you couldn't put two of them.
Right. Apparently this telem, what seems to be the issue is that because it's dug in the ground, it's considered like a separate entity. That's doesn't say. I don't know. I'd like to give you straightforward answers. I really don't know. The Gemara doesn't say. Eisvei ravina Rav Ashi hanotesh shtei shura shal kishua, shtei shura shal diluin, shtei shura shal pula mitzri mutter. The Mishnah in Kalaim tells us that if I plant two rows of cucumber, followed then by two rows of pumpkin, followed then by two rows of Egyptian bean, that's fine. However, shur acha shall kishur, v'shur acha shall diluim, v'shur acha shall pulam mitzri asar. But one row is not fine. Now, what's two versus one? Why is two?
How is it two rows? I mean, what is that?
Essentially, what the Mishnah in Kalam is describing is, I have two rows. I plant of what was it? It was cucumber. Followed then by two rows of
Egyptian
whatever. Pumpkin, followed then by two rows of bean, Egyptian bean.
And what's the difference between them?
Again, the Mishnah doesn't say. It almost sounds like it doesn't matter. Well, watch. The Gemara is going to take the discussion in the following direction. And so essentially what bothers the Gemara is the following, is that you see that one row is not a standalone. One row planted next to another row of two different seeds is an Isser of Kalayim, because one row does not represent its own independent field. So now essentially what the Gemara is bothered by is, according to you, Rav Ashi or Rav Asi, how is it that you can dig one furrow through the patchwork, and you could say, oh, don't worry, it won't upset the configuration of the patchwork. Of course it's going to upset the configuration of the patchwork. Because essentially now what I have is...
But we don't know what the width of these rows are.
Well, in our Mishnah we do. Meaning in our Mishnah, this Mishnah, right, you're correct, agreed.
They could fit within one furrow.
Agreed, but the point being is that if I have one row of one seed, another row of one seed, another row of one seed, of course it's going to upset the configuration because... I have now basically made 1-1-1. I guess the point of two is that once you plant two, that's considered a field. And, like we discussed earlier, in other words, the issue of climb is an issue of hecker. So once this two now becomes a field, so this is one field, this is another field, this is another field. I would assume, not because I'm right, but I would assume that that's what two creates. But one, however, does not. So the Gemara says, Shani Hacha, Di'ika Sircha. The Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you why it's different over here. It's different over here because you would have branches intermingling with one another. Meaning that the Rashi says Muraseim Aruchos, the branches are very long. Umit Arvar Harbe Malamalav and Nira Ivravam Bimkoma Harbe. So in other words, by planting them so close to one another, so what you're going to end up having is a total intermingling. Again, we go back to the first point that we made this morning. The issue of Kalaim is an issue of Heker. We don't want them to look like they're planted together. So therefore, if I plant one row of cucumber, one row of pumpkin, one row of beans, and because the branches are so long, it's going to look like it's intermingled. Okay. Now, perhaps this bothered you already from the very beginning of this morning. The Gemara now wants to know as follows. Look, essentially what the Chachamim have provided for us, let's go back to the beginning of this morning. The Chachamim provided for us is a formula. I want to plant 5 different seeds in one patch. So go perimeter, north, south, east, and west. Plant along the side. Leave a little bit of area exposed on the corners. Plant one seed in the middle. And there you got 5 in one patch. Look at all this wasted space. Right? So in other words, on one hand, what we did successfully accomplish is, in a small piece of land, we did plant 5 different seeds. But when all said and done, it doesn't seem that efficient. There's all that space in the middle. What Rav Yochanan is essentially going to suggest to us is there's a way of filling in the middle. How do you fill in the middle, says Rav Yochanan? Circular. So in other words, continue planting in the middle in a circular configuration. Now, what's so special about a circle? It's very simple. Well, not that simple. But it's pretty simple. As we pointed out, the issue of Kalaim is an issue of Heker. And what essentially happens is that if I planted a parallel row next to the southern, or a parallel row next to the northern, so that looks like now I'm planting 2 different seeds next to one another. Remember, we discussed in the beginning of this morning, once it becomes perpendicular, so then from the visual perspective, it does not look like they are Kalaim, and therefore there's no problem. What Rav Yochanan is introducing to us is that a circle next to a line is also visually distinct. And because of that, Rav Yochanan says, if I continue to basically grow the pattern of the center in a circular configuration, I can extend, now my square is not a perfect square, but I can extend the circle basically all the way around, even to the point where it basically touches the edges, and it would be fine. So if I wanted to fill in the middle, I could do so in a circular pattern. Now, everyone understands a circle inscribed in a square. There obviously is going to be empty space over here.
Better than what you had originally.
But, thank you, Danny. That's exactly.
But I need to walk around in that circle patch to take care of it.
Oh, okay. So I believe that's going to be the Gemara's next question. Very good. So I wrote some mas called Ginasa Yarkosa Aruga Shisha Shishava Ogoba Chamisha Umemale Karnasa Koma Shiyirtsa.
Is it multiple circles or just one big circle?
I mean, I drew multiple circles. Sounds like it could be one big circle. V'ha'ika de beni beni. The Gemara now is bothered. Okay, but still, there's going to be some space in between. Amr de beri Raviana be'machri be'na be'nayim. So Raviana says, okay, you're right. Correct. We're not filling in every area. Meaning there's going to be this space over here. Even the corners. Remember, you can't go all the way to the edges on the corners as well. You got to leave space over there. So basically, what Danny said is correct. Meaning, it's better than what you had before. Obviously, you're not filling in every area of this land, but doesn't have to be like our Mishnah says, where it's just one seed in the middle. So, Rav Yan ben Machri ben Abinayim. Rav Ashi Amar Em Hayuzrom Shesi Zoran Erev, Erin Zoran Shesi. I don't fully understand what this means, to be fair and honest with you. But basically, if you're going horizontal, go vertically. And if you go vertically, go horizontally. I am not clear, being honest. I'm not clear exactly how this translates into a visual picture. But basically, if you can somehow create a visual distinction between one and another,
furrow.
Yeah, it's a question of how it's furrowed. Something like that. So, but basically, if I can create a visual distinction between them, so then the Gemara says that would be fine. Eisvei Ravina LeRavashi, Avodas Yerek BeYerek, Acher Shisha Tfachim, Veron Oso Kitavla Merubas, Kitavla Merubas. One more, I'd say this is a Mishnah in Kalayim, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Tosefta. So, how much distance must I separate one patch from another patch? So the Mishnah says, the Tosefta says, Avodis Yerek, BeYerek Acher, Shisha Tfachim. Veron Oso Kitavla Merubas, and you make it square. Kitavlu Deshari Halav Hachi Aser. So the Gemara says, okay, but it sounds like anything short of that would be aser. So la kule ba kula achrina lahati roshtur hayotzei hemenim. The Gemara says no. When describing the patch over there, the field over there, the Gemara is essentially saying, look, how much are we going to need to plant in that area in order for it to be considered its own separate individual field? Meaning, like we described a little bit earlier, when you have your own separate individual field, so then therefore having one field contiguous or next to another field is fine. But that Mishnah over there isn't describing what we're describing over here. What we're describing over here is to plant within the field, so that you're allowed to do, even if you're filling in this land over here, and even though there are going to be little spaces of gap in the middle, that's fine. What that Mishnah, that Tosefta is describing is, at what point is it considered its own separate, unique field, so that I can plant a field next to it, adjacent to it. But we're not talking about the actual field itself. Okay, quickly to summarize today's daf. So again, this is a total tangent to Masechta Shabbos, but a little bit of halachas of Kalayim. Really, the groundbreaking revelation comes in the beginning of today's daf, where the issue of Kalayim is really an issue of Hacker. Yeah, you like that. The issue of Kalayim is really an issue of Hacker, meaning that you cannot have two seeds visually look like one next to another. The unique of the fact that they're underneath the ground nourishing one from another, that's not the issue of Kalayim. The issue is that of Hacker. And so therefore, as long as they're visually distinct, and the construct of our Mishnah is making a patch of 6x6 tefachim, planting on each one of the perimeters, leaving a little space in the corners so that they don't encroach on one another, they don't touch one another, and then having one seed in the middle, so that would allow me to plant five different seeds in one patch. That is what we learned in our Mishnah. Essentially, the Gemara's discussion today was, first of all, how did the Chachamim know that? Answer says the Gemara, they learned it from Bnei Esav. Bnei Esav were the horticulture experts who passed their information onto the Chachamim. That's how the Chachamim are so fluent in all these halachas. And then the Gemara wants to, then the rest of the discussion today was the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Is our Mishnah talking about a standalone field, or is it talking about with a field within other fields as well? Rav says it's a standalone. Shmuel says no, it's a field within other fields as well. And we discussed, according to Shmuel, how do you configure so that could be a field within a whole bunch of other fields? And finally, the last point, last discussion that took place in our discussion today is there a possibility of filling in the field? And Rav Yochanan says yes, there is, by making that center circular. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow, Poleta Shechva Zera, new topic in tomorrow's daf. And Mamad Harsina is going to be the discussion of the next number of dapim.